We'll do a quick recap of where we've been. We're back on the series that we were looking at, how we come to worship and the table of the Lord. That will have certain other connotations for us from what was envisaged in the tabernacle. So we're talking about the tabernacle as described in the Old Testament, in the Torah. And so we shall do a very speedy summary reminder of some of the things that we looked at in that. So the tabernacle there was set up in the wilderness. The people of Israel, they had come out of Egypt. They were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And God said to Moses, build this thing. And that's where I'm going to live in your midst, essentially. This is my tent in the middle of all your tents, right in the middle of the community. So the first thing we looked at is that actually this does have some relevance to us today, because when God told Moses what to build, it was a copy of something that was already existing in heaven. It's not completely irrelevant, because it's something of our future. So Hebrews 8:5, talking about the priests, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. So the tabernacle, and then subsequently the temple, it was based on something that we are yet to see once we get into heaven. Right around the edge of the tent, so the tent in the middle, there was a fence around the edge, which was in white. That white fence was like a swatch card that says, you've got to be clean, you've got to be perfect to come into the presence of God. And we looked at how that, in a sense, the law shows us our failings. The law shows us how we've not lived up to God's standard. Romans 3:20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So that white fence around reminds us that we can't come into God's presence if we're full of sin. At the eastern end, there was the gate. That was the one way to come in through the gate. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was only one way that people could come into the courtyard. Only the one way the priests could get into the holy place in the middle is coming in through the gate. Jesus is our gate. He is the one that makes it possible for us to come to the Father. We then looked at the altar. Just as you come in through the door, you've got this altar. On the altar, animals were sacrificed, all sorts of different offerings. One of the most important ones was the sin offering. Blood had to be shed to pay for sin. We looked back in Genesis when God sacrificed an animal to make skins, to clothe Adam and Eve in their nakedness, to clothe the effect of their sin. The animals had to be sacrificed in the tabernacle and in the temple to cover the effects of sin. For the life of a creature is in its blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonements for one's life. Leviticus 17:11 there. And we looked at how Jesus was the ultimate atoning sacrifice. No longer do we need to sacrifice animals, no longer do we need to sacrifice the sheep, the bulls, the goats, whatever, because Jesus has made that ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. We also mentioned the fact that other offerings were made, not just offerings for sin, but, From the altar, the next thing before the priests went into the holy place was the basin, that was made of bronzed, highly polished bronze and full of water. So the priests would have to go there and they would have to wash their hands and their feet. They'd already been purified so that they could enter their priestly service. But they had to wash their hands, wash their feet, just to get rid of any traces of dirt in their lives. And there's that thing of ongoing, continually making sure we are righteous before God. James 1:25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed by what they do. We don't do what is right. We don't live according to God's law, to God's way, to earn salvation. But because we are saved, we act out of that. Faith without works is dead, was another verse we looked at. Then finally, we looked at going actually into the holy place. And we had the menorah, the 7-branch candlestand. You go in on the left-hand side. And we looked at how the lamps on the menorah symbolize the 7 lamps represented God looking out over the whole earth. Psalm 11 here. The Lord is in his holy temple. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. So not only is God looking at us as we come into his presence to check the state of our hearts, but actually Jesus is also represented by the menorah, by the lampstand, and he lights the way into the presence of the Father. So that's 5 weeks summarized in about 5 minutes. The next thing we're going to look at today is, can you see that? Just about. It's the table of, we could turn the lights off for a moment. So there we go. We've got a table, and we can read about this now that it's dark. We can't see the word. In Exodus chapter 25. Let's have the lights back on, please, Matthew. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 23 is where we read from. I was going to say, if you can't find it, I'll read it out loud, and then you can have a look later, if that's easier. So Exodus chapter 25, verse 23. Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. So a cubit is about so long. Length of one's elbow to fingertips. 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, and make a gold mounting around it. Also, make around it a trim, 1 handbreadth wide, and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table and fasten them to the 4 corners, where the 4 legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles and used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring of offerings, and put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. So, we've got a table made of gold. We mentioned previously the fact that everything outside the tent was made of bronze. The altar was bronze. The basin for washing was made of bronze. And that was kind of representative of judgment. Once we come inside the tent, everything inside is gold. The candlestick, the menorah is gold. The table for the bread is gold. The altar of incense is gold. And once you get into the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant is also made of gold. Gold representing kingship, authority, power. So that's the table. Now that you've just found that, we're going to turn over to Leviticus chapter 24. And read verses 5 to 9. So this is talking about the bread that was just mentioned briefly in the Exodus passage. Verse 5, take the finest flour and bake 12 loaves of bread, using 1/5 of an ephah of flour for each loaf. Arrange them in two piles, 6 in each pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. By each pile, put some pure incense as a memorial portion to represent the bread and to be a food offering presented to the Lord. This bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites, as a lasting covenant. It belongs to Aaron and his sons who are to eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is a most holy part of their perpetual share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. So, we have two piles of bread on this table that's not much bigger than this white table we've got here. The bread is variously translated. Some of you might have heard of the showbread or the shoe bread or the bread of the presence. So depending on which translation you've got, the bread was offered as an offering that was placed every Sabbath on the table before the Lord, renewed every Sabbath. Interestingly, it said there that it was a food offering to the Lord. Now, what happened to most of the offerings that were presented to the Lord? They were burnt. This one, however, wasn't, obviously. This one was brought in one Sabbath, and then the next Sabbath, it would be taken away, replaced with a new one. Instead of being burnt, it says that Aaron and his sons were to eat it. So the priests were to eat it. So before we go any further, I thought it was maybe worth some visual aids to think about what we're talking about here. So I happen to have just rustled up, or maybe I didn't just rustle up, 2 loaves of bread. How much flour do you think is in those 2 loaves of bread? Whoever didn't make it. How much flour do we reckon?
8 ounces in each.
Okay. Convert ounces to...
No idea.
I'll give you a clue. 1 bag of flour made both of those loaves. So... kilo, so 500 grams, 500 grams per loaf. It's said in Exodus that it was, what, 2/10 of an ephah of flour? Roughly, if you work that out, 2/10 of an ephah of flour per loaf, they would have used a little bit more than that. Per loaf. So we're talking about some serious loaves of bread here. I think I roughly calculated, back of an envelope, it was about 3 1/3 bags of flour per loaf. 12 loaves, you get towards 40 kilograms of flour used. So we got quite a bit of bread. Like that little picture, I don't really think does us justice to the reality of what we're looking at. This was part of their offering to God every week. 40 times the amount of bread that we've got on the table there. And the priests would then take it, which in itself, think about this, something about the presence of God. How long does your bread last at home? Not long in this weather, no. Bearing in mind, we're in a tent in the Middle East.
Yes.
I mean, I know shop-bought bread is made to not go mouldy quite so quickly and it's filled with all sorts of things. But if you're making your bread, it goes off pretty quickly. And yet, This bread was in the presence of God for a week. And then the priests would eat it after that. I'm going to guess, given God's love of perfection, it wasn't going mouldy. He wasn't prepared to have mouldy bread in his presence. Something about the presence of God that does us good, that renews us, that keeps us fresh, if you want to put it in those terms. Aaron and his sons, the priests, were commanded to eat the bread. This bread was put, in a sense, as an offering to God, and yet God gave it back to them to eat. You compare that with a lot of the other food offerings by the nations around at that time, who offered food to their idols, who ate it because these idols needed feeding, and yet somehow it was disappeared by the time the worshippers next came. You know, it was just disappeared, and oh yes, our idol has consumed the food. God says, no, I don't need your food. I am the sustainer. I am the one that is giving life to you. There is a sense which, as the priests took the bread from the presence of God, they were taking it from the king's table. We've already spoken about gold, referring to royalty. They were taking the bread from the king's table. They were eating the king's food, and God was giving them, just even symbolically there, he was showing his provision for them. The Creator does not need to be sustained. He is the one who sustains us. And he welcomes us into his presence. And it's a sign of favor. For the priests to be able to eat from the king's table, that means they are in a position of favor. We are in a position of favor before God. You think about the people you have into your house. You don't just let any old person come into your house and eat your food. There's an element of favor and expression. You know, how do you feel about the people that you invite to come into your house, to come and eat your food? For the priests to be able to eat the food, to eat the bread, they had to be pure. They had to be worthy. We spoke about previously, didn't we, how the whole sense of faith in the tabernacle. They had to have faith in the sacrifice that had been offered for their atonement. Otherwise, if they walked into the holy place, dead. You've got to have faith to know that God has accepted my offering, if that's what your life is on the line. Similarly, we have faith in what Jesus has done on our behalf, so that we can come into the presence of God. We have to have faith to know that we are considered pure, that we are considered worthy. Just for your notes, Leviticus 22, verse 2, it underlines again that any of the priests who were not worthy, who were not pure, who were not clean, they were not allowed to be involved with anything that was going on in the tabernacle there, Leviticus 22, verse 2. A similar one from the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians. It says, just talking about coming to having communion as we celebrate it. 1 Corinthians 11, I'll just read quickly. 1 Corinthians 11, 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Very similar to what we see in the tabernacle. The priests couldn't go in unless they were pure. Likewise, we need to be pure before God. We've spoken a little bit about the bread. Let's do a little bit of Hebrew, shall we? Lechem is Hebrew for bread. You may remember where Jesus was born. Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, Beit Lechem, Bethlehem is the house of bread. So, the bread that is on the table, in Exodus, what's it referred to as? So, we've seen various translations of the bread of the presence, the showbread. The word used is panim.
Panim.
Panim. Sorry, my resident Hebrew teacher. Panim means face. So quite literally, we're talking about face bread. Which, like, that's a bit weird. What's that all about? Several times through the series, we've gone back to Genesis. Right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading from the New International Version, translation. And if you have something different, I may ask you to read it out so we can all hear. Just because some of the translations are slightly different. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden in perfection. And he said, you can eat from any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The rest of them, go for it. They disobeyed. And then at that point, their eyes were open and they realized the error of their ways. Verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, where are you? Verse 8, does anybody have anything slightly different? Yes, go for it.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
From the presence. Okay, thank you. The latest NIV translation doesn't have the word presence there. The Hebrew word for presence used there is face. They hid themselves from the face of God. So that there are a number of times where the word face is used to essentially, if you're in the sight of my face, you're in my presence. They hid themselves from the face of God. This bread is the bread that's before the face of God. It's the bread from his presence. A few verses which just kind of to read that in a similar context. 1 Peter chapter 3, right near the back, in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. We actually used this verse a couple of weeks back about talking about the menorah. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So just thinking about that whole thing, being before the face of God. Towards the back, a little bit further, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves, and among the rocks of the mountains. They called out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from his face. Then let's just look at Matthew 18 and verse 10. Jesus has brought a child into the midst there, and he's talking about them. He says, Matthew 18, verse 10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." The face of God is either a delightful place to be or a fearful place to be. As we think about the bread of his presence, the bread of his face, it's either a fearful thing or it's a wonderful thing. We've spoken previously about the fact that God's original intention was that the Israelite nation, they were chosen to be a nation of priests, to reveal God to the nations around them. And that we, as believers in Jesus, we are grafted in to into that family of faith. But we are to be priests for the people around us, to introduce them to God. And so it's interesting in that context that there were 12 loaves on the table in two piles. One for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, two piles representing the northern and the southern kingdoms. One kingdom got dispersed amongst the rest of the nations, one less so. And you kind of read that through the history there. This is well before the two nations were formed. Right from the beginning, there's a prophetic sense of God saying, I know there's going to be a separation. We've got two piles here. Some of you are going to get dispersed. Some of you are going to remain. But we are a part of that symbol before God. We, in a sense, the bread represents the nations and those who fear God in the presence of God. The bread represents us coming into the presence of God. Bottom line is, we are welcomed into the presence of the King. When we think about coming, taking communion, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Then after that, at the Passover with his disciples, he said, this is my body, taking the bread. This is my body broken for you. The priests would eat of these huge great loaves of bread, and it did their bodies good. We need to be continually coming into the presence of God and eating from the King's table, eating of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that will do us good. He is the one that will satisfy our spirits. We can try and fill our lives with other things, but actually they don't satisfy ultimately. It's only Jesus. We need to seek God and find our sustenance in him. How do we do that? Are we hungry for him? There are a lot of people in the community outside these walls that don't know God, that maybe don't know that they need him, don't know that he is the answer to their core longings. We need to set aside time to be in his presence, to seek his face. Say, God, how can I be the priest that you've called me to be? Am I living in a way that declares your glory? Am I being fully sustained by the bread of your presence? We are welcome to come into his presence if our sin has been forgiven and Jesus has made that possible. We are welcomed into his presence if we're made righteous. So we can come with confidence God's only requirement of us is perfection. That's all. Perfection. But Jesus is the one that gives us our perfection. So as we come and think about this here this morning, am I welcome to come to the Lord's table? And we can easily say, yes, I am. But actually, why? Let's think about this. What have I done this week? Does the way I've behaved with the people I've come into contact, the things I've thought, the things I've said, the things I've typed, the things I've done, does that look like perfection? Do I need to metaphorically come to that basin and wash my hands and feet, get rid of the dirt, so that I can come into the presence and eat the bread of the presence, the bread that's before the face of God? Am I continually feeding on the bread of life? We don't just eat as a once-off thing. You know that for your body, day in, day out. 3 square meals, give or take. Our bodies need sustenance. Our spirits need sustenance too. We need to be coming into the presence of God, spending time with Him, saying, Holy Spirit, come and work in me, work through me. This week, have I set aside time just to be in God's presence, to be before His face?